and interior design. ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President-elect Donald Trump on his way to the White House for a meeting with President Biden.
Despite their bitter rivalry, the White House is adamant that the American people need to see this, that this meeting is critical to underscoring the importance of a peaceful transition of power. As President Biden has said, this is how democracy works. Now, the president is also likely to use this opportunity to impress upon his successor several key issues, including the fight for Ukraine.
That's ABC's Mary Bruce. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Brussels telling NATO members that the U.S. will continue full funding of Ukraine until President Biden leaves office. President-elect Trump has named Pete Hegseth as the next defense secretary. His military experience, Army National Guard captain. His other experience, a host on Fox News. Trump has also tapped Elon Musk and former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy to lead a new Department of Government Efficiency, which is not currently a government agency. The acronym DOGE is a nod to Musk's favorite crypto.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. It's nearly a week after Election Day, and Senate candidate Eric Hovde has not conceded. Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin is leading by about 30,000 votes, and the race has been called by most outlets. There is speculation about a potential recount request, which Hovde would be required to fund if pursued. President Joe Biden recently apologized on behalf of the federal government to Native American families and communities for the country's history of sending indigenous children to boarding schools. The U.S. government removed Native children from their families by force and placed them in boarding schools where they lost connections to their culture and language. Children were routinely beaten for not speaking English, and many were killed. Wisconsin had at least 11 of these schools. This program started in 1819 and ended in 1969. Cheryl Crazy Bull leads the American Indian College Fund.
I feel like when you acknowledge something, you take a step toward healing that. You can't really have reconciliation unless people acknowledge that harm was done.
A bill making its way through the U.S. House would create a Truth and Healing Commission similar to efforts in South Africa after apartheid. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is warning residents that a couple of new invasive species may be heading this way. According to a Facebook post, the DNR is warning about the hemlock woolly and balsam woolly adelgid moving through Michigan. The insects have not been found in Wisconsin yet, but residents should be on the lookout as they target hemlock and fir trees. An infected tree would look stunted with swollen branches, as the insects use toxic saliva on the trees that also causes needles to become discolored and fall. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers back on the clock. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers back from their bye week, getting ready to play the Bears in Chicago at noon Sunday. I asked the Packers leading receiver, Jaden Reed, how's he feeling week 11 with at least eight more games to go?
I feel really good right now. I felt pretty good last game too, but before that I was pretty beat up. So, that's why we had a bye week. And, you know, hopefully everybody's feeling much better so we can go out there and fly around.
Freedom should be free. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities. A little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot in hour number 2. I hope you'll join us.
Matinere on air. Weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Mom. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. You know, Sandy knocked it out of the park yesterday, but it's good to have you back.
So what was the name of that movie where they clicked the heels three times and said there's no place like home?
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, Wizard of Oz. So before I get into my guess, yesterday I was, I was at, not rehearsal, but recording, shooting for the movie that I'm given a part of and in anyway. And so I was so excited. I said, look, move over, Denzel. I'm coming. But after 11 hours of just, over and over, I don't want to be in the movies. I found that out. My place is on the airways, and I'm happy to be here. And I want to welcome back Mr. Paul Swartz with the National Campaign of Lead-Free Water and Dr. Yana Lambrinidou. Our good friend Robert Miranda is out today. But thank you, guys. I'm glad politics is over for a while and we can get down to business, serious business. Before we get into all of that, I just wanted to ask you, there's a changing of the guard in this nation. You know, President Biden allocated money to address the lead pipe issue. And we've got a guy now in office who's looking to cut as many programs that he doesn't seem fit. He certainly wants to not address all the different issues that the American people are faced with as far as climate and all those things. Do you see any impact in what it is you guys are fighting right now? Either one of you can respond. Well, Dr. Lambrinidou, what do you think?
Well, I think we, first of all, good morning, and thank you so much for having us again. This is, of course, a transition that has many of us quite anxious. There was the announcement about the new leader of the Environmental Protection Agency. It's an individual who doesn't seem to have a lot of background on environmental issues and public health protection. And certainly when it comes to lead in drinking water, we are really looking at a new regulation that the Biden administration's EPA issued very recently, which has, it's not perfect, but it is much improved from previous regulations for lead in drinking water. And one of the main improvements of the Biden administration's regulation is the mandatory replacement of lead laterals across the country. That's not a cheap project. And the Biden administration has dedicated huge amounts of funds to do the replacements. And still, these funds are not nearly enough to remove these dangerous lead laterals and replace them with safer materials. So the possibility that that funding is might be reduced or cut, of course, is something that is quite alarming because it might result in these replacements either not happening or in residents who have no responsibility for this problem being burdened with extremely high costs and all sorts of other problems. And so we have to have our eyes peeled for this issue.
Well, no, just so people are aware, Donald Trump and, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy talking about cutting regulations. That's one of the main things. You just talked about the regulations that Joe Biden put in place to address this. Mr. Swartz, your thoughts.
Well, I think the anti-regulatory regime of the incoming Trump administration is something to be really concerned about. In the announcement of Representative Lee Zeldin from New York being the head of EPA, the last line of a lot of the news reports is that the Trump administration wanted clean air and clean water. I'm not sure what the content of that really is. And I think that we're going to have to look very carefully at whether the Trump administration tries to put an administrative hold on this new regulation for lead in water that Yana was talking about that was just put in place. Also, this Congress is looking at cutting large amounts of money from the federal budget. And of course, budget priorities are say a lot about what the priorities are of an administration and of the American people. And so we're going to have to watch about the budget process, even if the federal government is going to continue to be funded, you know, past the three-month agreement that was made when the shutdown was last talked about. And so those are real concerns. That all being said, right now, a lot of the water utilities in the Milwaukee area and around the country are claiming that a chunk of the lead laterals is some to replace them that you are going to have to pay for them. And that's a real problem as well. That would have been true whether the Biden administration or the new Harris administration or the Trump administration was in place. And so the direct and indirect costs of getting the lead laterals out could fall heavily on people, rich and poor alike. And in Chicago, Detroit, Milwaukee, around the nation, I think people are just waking up to the fact that they even have these 100% lead pipes coming into their home. And what's not being said by the water utilities when they're sending out overdue notifications that this is the case is that that's really only part of the story, that lead is in almost every building. And whether or not you have a lead lateral, you're likely to have lead exposure out of the tap. And that's why it's important. And I want this PSA to be out there in front of people on the show each week, that you have to use point of use filters on the counter or mounted on the faucet that have two certifications, the National Sanitation Foundation or NSF 53, and along with a claim of lead reduction, and the NSF standard 42. So you have the tools to protect yourself from lead and water right now.
If you're just joining us, it's Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and that means that Dr. Yama Librinidu and Paul Swartz, both of the National Campaign for Lead-Free Water, are joining us. And you know, you talked about, Mr. Swartz, you know, these lead pipe removals. And so Dr. Librinidu, people may think that lead pipe from the street that comes up to the house, that's what they're talking about. But you've got to get the lead pipes out of your own house as well. The city is only responsible for from the street to the entrance to your home. I don't know. So we need information.
Yeah. This is such an important issue, and unfortunately, I think that a lot of the letters and information that are going out right now from water utilities to residents are not very clear about all the sources of lead in drinking water. There are the lead laterals that connect the water mains under the street to individual homes. And those tend to be partly a part of the lead laterals usually from the water main to the property line, belong to the city or the water utility, and the other part from the property line to the home oftentimes belong to homeowners, property owners. And in many jurisdictions, property owners are asked to pay for the removal of that private side. And then there is lead-bearing plumbing inside the vast majority of buildings and homes. And that's in the form of lead fixtures and faucets fixtures and faucets that have lead in them or lead solder. Some buildings can have lead pipes in them as well. That's less frequent. But people who use tap water for drinking and cooking really need to know that these lead laterals, even though they're a very important source of lead in water because they're made of 100% lead, they're not the only source of lead in water. And homes have taps dispensing lead from internal plumbing. And even if people do not have a lead lateral, they really ought to be concerned about lead in drinking water. And that's just a very important message. There is a lead standard right now, a plumbing standard, that is a California standard, a Q1, it's called. And that's if anybody who's buying new plumbing should try to make sure that their plumbing meets this California standard, which is the most health protective in terms of lead. The vast majority of homes and buildings do not have this Q1 lead standard. They have lead-bearing plumbing inside their buildings, and people really need to be concerned and need to be taking precautions at all times.
You know, all of this stuff is so pervasive. I was talking with someone the other day, and they were talking about all the new development that's going on in our city where they're tearing down old houses, and they're not removing all of those pipes that are there. And they're building homes over those things. We got to take a quick hiatus, and we'll come back. I am joined by the National Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Dr. Leva Needle, and Paul Swartz, 855-752-4842 on the early.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Terry's Tiny Homes, Terry! Sure, as the only employee of her company, Terry was probably the front runner, but saving money getting personalized discounts with a commercial auto quote from Progressive, well, that gave Terry the edge. Over Terry.
Terry! Terry!
Keep awkwardly chanting your own name, Terry. You deserve it.
Woo!
Be your own Terry. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into, like, pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you,
bye.
Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means we're joined by Dr. Lembrinidu and Mr. Paul Swartz of the National Campaign for Lead Free Water. And so, Paul, you know, constantly information, because this battle is really, you know, you guys can lead the battle, but you can't make it happen alone. Has to be an uprising from the citizenry, and that they get so frustrated finding out that they're being poisoned along with their children and their grandchildren, and then rise up and bring the pressure necessary to change it. You can take it from there, sir.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that's starting to take place because of the federal funds that are flowing and some of the new requirements is that people around the country will start, as Yana Lembrinidu said, my colleague, starting to get letters about lead services or lead laterals and the need to replace them in their community. CBS 58, local television station in the Milwaukee area, reported yesterday that folks out in West Allis and Wauwatosa and the village of Whitefish Bay, and these are just examples of many other communities in Wisconsin and around the country that will be getting these letters, have these 100% lead pipes that come from the water mains running down the neighborhood streets into their homes and other buildings. And in the reporting done by the local CBS affiliate, they said that people in Whitefish Bay will have to pay up around $8,000 for the so-called private portion that runs from the property line to their homes. And you know, really, it's important to note that we think this is an artificial distinction between the so-called public side and the so-called private side, and that people shouldn't be burdened with this cost, either directly or indirectly through their water rates, that these are things that have been put in many, many decades ago. Lead service lines were outright banned in 86. The water utilities are late to the game in letting people know that they have these lead pipes. In Milwaukee, like in many big cities, there's huge numbers of those lead pipes. And also that they're only telling part of the story when they're making these announcements. It's good that they've stepped up and that the regulations are requiring them to tell people about this. But we've got a lot more information that we need to put on the doorstep. So when meetings are taking place on December 2nd in the village of Whitefish Bay, public meetings and people come there, that they're better informed and armed to talk about what are the real issues that they're facing with poisoning at the tap and with these cost burdens that are being imposed on them.
You know, you talked about those particular areas, those are affluent areas.
Right.
And so when you talk about $8,000, you know, it's still a stretch, but, you know, people in those areas can afford it. People who live in areas like Milwaukee and residents who own homes cannot afford an $8,000, you know, expenditure. Right. And the way they've got this situated, I guess, is they can put it on your property taxes and it can take, you know, I don't know how many years they said to pay it off. But Dr. Lembrinidu, what do you say then to people who don't even understand that part of it, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, I think that this is a very clear environmental justice issue and a social justice issue in the sense that people are now going to be asked to pay, in some cases, you know, $8,000 or more dollars. Many folks who have absolutely no capacity to come up with those funds and with very serious public health ramifications if their lead laterals are not replaced. It's important to highlight what you brought up, Earl, before, that the fight now needs to take place at the community level. And my colleague, Paul Schwartz, just really highlighted the same, is that we all need to keep in mind something that our water utilities and our government agencies are not going to tell us. And that is that, first of all, these lead laterals, in many cases, were installed, they were really forced on us through plumbing codes and regulations that required the installation of these lead service lines. And on top of that, for about 40 years now, EPA and the water utility industry, so after the lead ban, after the ban of these lead laterals, you know, have really not been informing people about the very serious health risk that these plumbing materials are posing. And so we're about 40 years into or after the lead ban, and people are now being told finally what the problem is. In the meantime, people have gotten poisoned. They've been exposed to this for so long. And the idea that now it's ordinary people who will have to pay a lot of money to replace these lines raises very serious justice questions.
You know, guys, it is more than frustrating for me. We've got many people who listen to this program on a daily basis. And when we're talking about politics, phone lines stay lit up. But when we're talking about something that's even more important than politics, and all of these people's lives are impacted and affected, you know, I hope we get more people calling. 855-752-4842. We're talking about National Campaign for Lead-Free Water on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Justice Office of School Safety released the 2023-24 annual report for Speak Up, Speak Out. Speak Up, Speak Out is a free statewide threat reporting tip line available to all Wisconsin schools. Speak Up, Speak Out also serves as the hub that connects all Office of School Safety initiatives and the entry point where schools can access comprehensive services offered by the Office of School Safety, as well as local, state, and national partners. Speak Up, Speak Out received 5,270 tips during the 2023-24 school year, a more than 40% increase from the previous school year. Since the inception of Speak Up, Speak Out in 2020, bullying has consistently been the number one tip. It is also common nationally for bullying to be the most reported tip. Awareness of these incidents helps schools intervene early before grievances and upsets can lead children down a pathway to violence. Numerous students across Wisconsin have contacted Speak Up, Speak Out each year since its inception, reporting concerns resulting in safer school communities. The significant increase in tips and the rich dialogue that many students have with Speak Up, Speak Out staff indicate that the program has earned a reputation among youth as a safe, accessible, and credible place to report concerns. The 2023-24 annual report reflects the Office of School Safety's comprehensive approach to prioritizing preventing violence in our schools and, when crisis events do arise, responding appropriately to mitigate trauma and get students back to learning more quickly. The Office of School Safety assisted several schools with crisis response and recovery during the 2023-24 school year. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The announcement seems like only a matter of time, but there will be a sequel to the prequel known as Wonka. The 2023 film starring Timothy Chalamet was one of the top 10 highest-grossing films of 2023, so the announcement was more a question of when, not if. Director Paul King says the script is in the early stages and will take place before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he might incorporate some exotic locations where they have to search for secret ingredients. The film Tremors from 1990 is getting a reboot. The team behind the horror flick, which was at times pretty funny, has reacquired the rights to their script and are contemplating how to approach another crack at the franchise, according to JoeBlow.com. Yes, that's a real site. The original film took place in a small Nevada town that saw residents terrified of graboids. Kevin Bacon, who was in the original, has shown interest in the sequel. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers developing by mid to late afternoon. Our high right around 50. Tonight, scattered showers likely. We could get a quarter inch or more of rain by the time it all winds down early tomorrow morning. Our low 43 tomorrow. Showers ending mostly cloudy with a high near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Bob's Burgers writer John Schrader, an actor and creator of the first annual Milwaukee Independent Film Awards, Ezekiel Drews. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Once again, I'm joined by Dr. Yana Lambrinidou and Paul Swartz of the National Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And guys, I was saying before the break that this is something, is such an important issue. And I think people are just now starting to, as you guys peel back the onion, even understand that this is an issue. And guys, this is not just an issue in the cities, from what I understand. This is a problem across this entire nation in private land and people with wells and all of those kind of things. I think people just take for granted that our nation would not allow anything as sacred as the water supply to be contaminated. We are the nation that spends billions of dollars all over the world supposedly to make sure that other nations' water supplies are good. But here in our own backyard, you know, people take their trust the government and, you know, Mr. Swartz, I'm sorry. It's a mistake. You're muted. You're muted. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What the point that you're making is so important that people assume that because we're not Mexico or somewhere else that our water coming out of the tap is wholesome. And in fact, there are on this issue of lead, the science really suggests that lead exposure is happening at almost all the taps across the United States. And the problem is that we have a culture at the United States Environmental Protection Agency that when they talk about these issues, don't give people the real information about what's going on at their taps and aren't clear about how people can protect themselves and that we actually have a technology to be able to do that through filters. It is shocking to people, and it's an environmental, a real environmental justice concern that there isn't real health-based and science-based public information that's being put in front of people. And this has been going on for a long time. Where we are right now is trying to figure out how do we protect the next generation.
You know, Dr. Limbernidu, part of this is, again, we talked about it a little bit, I think the last time you guys were on, they say that it's not as big an issue as your scientists are saying, and our government is pushing back against you and saying that's not the science that we have. And so how do you get around that? Because if our government agreed totally with your scientists and your findings, they would be forced into complying with what is right.
Well, one would hope, Earl, that would be the case, that if we that this was a matter of a scientific disagreement, and that if we all reached the point of agreement, then our government would address this issue properly. And unfortunately, that is not what we have seen on the ground, and certainly with how our government has addressed this issue over the last several decades. The issue is not so much that there is a disagreement about the science. Is the science of lead in drinking water is quite solid, and there isn't a whole lot of disagreement around that. In fact, EPA's new regulation, the lead and copper rule improvements, very much includes and incorporates the science and justifies the regulation on the basis of the science. What we're looking at with local governments and state governments many times is a position of ignoring, overlooking the science of lead in water and repeating and regurgitating an old and scientifically unsubstantiated mantra, if you will, that lead in drinking water is only a minor source of exposure and not something that people should be concerned about so much. So what we're up against is really a culture of resistance to embracing the science of lead in water. And this is where community fighting and community resistance is so important. I think that the work of Robert Miranda and FLAC and GTLO in Milwaukee have been paving the way and have been leading the way in bringing up the science of lead in water and asking local and state officials to come to terms with it or respond to it or certainly take it into account. And that's a big fight in almost all of our communities nationwide.
You know, and Paul, and I guess another part of this would be who's going to pay for it? You know, the government, you know, hemming and hawing, we don't have the money to pay for it.
Yeah, Earl, that's a really important point. The Biden administration, as my colleague Yana Limbernidu said, has committed $15 billion of federal money flowing through the states to communities to deal with this issue. That's an important component of the funding, but it falls far short of the mark of what's needed out in the communities. And so the states have to step up. Local communities have to step up with local tax dollars to put this on the residents, and especially in low-income and moderate-income residents who don't have the money to pay for this through their water bills is a harm on top of a harm. People have already are being harmed by the lead coming through their taps, and now we're talking about really exorbitant rate increases and direct charges for partial pipe replacement for the part that's from the private line through to the home. And this is something that people need to rise up against and to demand a different outcome.
Dr. Lambrini-Du, when we hear the government hemming and hawing about the cost right now for them to have to, you know, pony up to get this done, it's kind of short-sighted, because long-term, the medical damage that's being done to children at very young ages who become adults far outstrips the cost if they were to get it taken care of now. On the other end, we're going to be stuck and swamped with trying to make sure hospitals and doctors and pharmaceutical companies all are going to have to deal with the fallout of this long term. Is it safe to say that?
That is exactly right. And in fact, the new regulation that has been put out by the Biden administration has a very long section about the health benefits and of controlling lead in drinking water, which of course have been known for decades, but there are new and more robust analyses showing very profound and very extensive gains from addressing this problem at its root and ensuring that developing fetuses and infants and young children, and really the rest of us as well, are protected from a contaminant that is the most well-known environmental neurotoxicant that can result and often results in lifelong harm, including not just individual health harm, but also harm at the community level in terms of violence and crime. And so it is exactly short-sighted for government agencies to say this. And at the end of the day, these decisions are really decisions that reflect community priorities. And so to say that after decades of very clear knowledge and understanding that exposure to lead in drinking water causes horrific health effects, including miscarriages, stillbirths, IQ drops, violence and crime, and we've been sitting on this information for decades, and now to keep complaining that this is too expensive of a remedy seems to be not only short-sighted, and it surely is that, but also profoundly immoral.
Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, and good morning to your guests. Great topic. Earl, I give you a lot of credit. You're one of the few, people out there actually talking about this issue on a regular basis. And I listen to a lot of different, talk shows out there. So kudos to you for doing this. I should remind everybody, there's a reason why we removed leaded gasoline. We used to have leaded gasoline for quite a long time. And the science was there that, just like with lead in the water, we had to get rid of leaded gasoline because of the consequences with lead being in the gasoline. So we went with unleaded gasoline.
I would propose, this is what I would propose. I'm not sure where your guests would stand on this. But a lot of people have switched over to bottled water. However, even bottled water, a good percentage, unfortunately, is tap water. And, there's other consequences with that. So I do think that people, not only is this an important issue with the lead lateral lines, but also, you know, what are you potentially ingesting from bottled water? Because, like I said, there's definitely a lot of tap water in bottled water. And I think one of the ways, if we had to generate a revenue stream, I'm not sure what your guests would think about this, but just like we have an extra tax on gasoline for cleanup of gasoline stations in the past, and I can't think of the name of it, but you could potentially do that with like water bottles, where you just put a one penny tax on all water bottles, and that would be used towards helping clean up the current lead lateral situation, which would generate tremendous amount of revenue, and then that would be a huge amount of money that could be sent back to local and states across the country. And, you know, I think that that would be possibly.
Hey Dave, thank you very much. It's not a bad idea. Guys, hang on. We'll let you. Oh, we say, okay. Paul, you want to respond to that? Paul, you're muted.
We need to look at as the.
Go ahead.
As Paul said, all sorts of alternative and innovative funding sources to help pay for this problem. And of course, bottled water is less well regulated than tap water, but lead is not as likely to be in bottled water. That we really think that you can increase the confidence in tap water without having to go to bottled water by using filters.
All right, guys, hang on. Hang on the phone lines. We'll be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Give me the night. Give me the night.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
Now, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
you just don't understand. Girl, you've been charging by the hour for your love. I'll try to show how much I love you.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. My guests again are Paul Swartz. He's the National Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and Dr. Yana Lambrandidou as well. Let's go to the phone lines and Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, thanks for having your guest on this morning. It's such an important issue, and it's under the radar for many, many, many people. My question is, and it's kind of a rhetorical one, is, you know, really meant more for the audience, and that is, what's the difference between storm and flood and hurricane disaster relief than, you know, lead pipes disaster relief? And my answer to that is, one's visible and one isn't. And if it's invisible, one of these silent killers, like lead is, and by the way, lead paint was also identified as a major, major problem right after lead was identified in gasoline as a major problem. And we pivoted. We responded accordingly. But we have now found ourselves in this huge information void where what people need to know is no longer a top priority. It's business comes first. It's dollars comes first. So this is on you know, wide swath of responsibility here, a lot of people. But the bottom line is, guys, if we don't have a media that tells us what we need to know as a first objective, we're going to be spinning around in circles and chasing decades worth of infrastructure delays that benefit the people forever. We must be better at demanding good information find its way to the public. It shouldn't be a hunt every time.
Hey, Mike, well,
it'd be difficult.
Well said as always, sir. Paul, you want to respond?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really a great point to think about natural disasters that we have and to think about these human-made disasters that have been going on in our communities. And I really think that the question of what are our priorities and whether we're really going to be out to protect people's health, that really needs to be addressed in our communities and in our states and at the federal level.
So for the listening audience, we are going to be working on a podcast with Dr. Lambrandidou and Paul Swartz and you know, Robert Miranda in the immediate future, and we are going to keep hammering away at this because it is something that, you know, it shouldn't be, you know, relegated to, you know, 45 minutes with commercial breaks once a week. You know, it is too important an issue to be, you know, just kind of dismissed. And I'm so happy that Robert Miranda has connected us, because we're gonna put forth an effort, civic media in this platform, you know, spread across the state and with YouTube and other things across the nation, to try to, you know, educate more than enough and create an army of people who'd be willing to take this on. Karina, you're up next.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. So if I live in Glendale, and it's a condominium, but it was apartments before, how do I know if my pipes, what giving me a water, actually poisonous?
And either of you can answer that question. You know, she's an apartment dweller, you know, and unless it's a brand new outlet, you know, I guess the only way to protect themselves is to make sure that they have the filter, right?
Yes, that's right. So it's the way we're thinking that is probably the best way to approach this is a precautionary way. It is pretty safe to assume, unless your building was built just, you know, in the last few months, and the plumbing that was used met California plumbing standards, the plumbing standard of Q1, it's safe to assume that there's lead-bearing plumbing materials in your building. And it's also safe to assume that some lead, maybe low, maybe at times very high, does come out of your drinking water taps. So because testing the water is not a reliable way to identify safe from unsafe taps, probably using filters on a routine basis is the best way to ensure that you are protected from exposures.
Hey guys, I want to thank you once again for a fascinating and yet very necessary time that we spend together, and I promise you we're going to certainly increase our opportunities together to get more information out to as many people as possible. Thank you very much. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, will join us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a Hump Day edition. Our very own Trinity Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, with a look back on the election that was. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Lena Bloom for the Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed.